This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
I went to a garden party to reminisce with my old friends, a chance to share old memories, playing songs again. When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's alright now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
Hello, and welcome to At the Garden. This is the first official episode in the series. Last month, there was a special preview episode where I went over the history of professional wrestling at three different Madison Square Gardens from 1880 to 1938. Today is the first of what will be four parts looking at the career of Bruno Sammartino at Madison Square Garden. First part will cover the years 1960 to 1965. The second part will cover 1966 to 1971. The third part, 1972 to 1977. And the last part, 1978 to 1986. Sammartino, the living legend, is perhaps more synonymous with professional wrestling at Madison Square Garden than any other, and is thus a fitting first subject for this podcast. Before I begin, I would like to acknowledge my sources once again. For this episode, I relied on Capital Revolution by Tim Hornbaker from 2015, The History of Professional Wrestling, issue number 3, Madison Square Garden, research by Fred Hornby and published by Scott Teal in 1999, WrestlingData.com, and lastly, yes, a little bit of Wikipedia, which never hurts. So, without any further ado, let's begin. Born Bruno Leopoldo Francesco Sammartino on October 6, 1935, in Pisoferrato, Italy. He was the youngest of seven brothers and sisters. During the Second World War, his family hid from German soldiers in a mountain called Vallarocca. This was a very difficult time, and they barely survived this hardship. In 1950, he moved to Pittsburgh in the United States, where his father had settled years before. At this time, he spoke no English, and was still sickly from his experiences during the war. To compensate for bullying in school, Bruno began to get into weight training to build himself up physically. He got into wrestling when he began working out with the University of Pittsburgh wrestling team while still in high school. He began to become known in the Pittsburgh area for performing strongman feats. He made an appearance doing so on a local TV show, which caught the eye of Pittsburgh promoter Rudy Miller, who recruited Bruno into pro wrestling. The gimmick would be simple: a young, good-looking Italian strongman. And it would mean instant money if he could learn to perform at even a modest level. The level that he would eventually perform at exceeded everybody's wildest expectations. He debuted as a wrestler in 1959, shortly after his 24th birthday. The earliest result I could find was from October 20th, 1959, in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. At this time, Pittsburgh was its own independent wrestling city. But Rudy Miller did have connections to Vince McMahon Sr., one of the major promoters in New York City. So, as early as November 12th, 1959, Bruno made his way to Washington, D.C., and the Capitol Arena, where McMahon Sr. filmed TV for his Capitol Wrestling promotion, which was televised in New York City. It didn't take long for McMahon Sr. to decide that he wanted to give this young Italian kid a major push. No doubt, in large part, because of the potential money that could be made by pushing this Superman in a city with a large Italian population like New York.
You got what it takes,
yeah, yeah,
to satisfy,
yeah, yeah.
You got what it takes to set my soul on fire. Whoa, oh yeah, you got what it takes for me.
Things moved fast now. Sammartino was booked for the January 2nd, 1960 MSG show in the semi-main event slot against Killer Kowalski. Despite having a very popular wrestling program on TV in New York, at this time, McMahon Sr. was sharing the Garden with no less than three other promoters. This card would prove to be one of the all-time great successes for wrestling at the third Madison Square Garden, drawing 21,950 fans. Powered by a main event between longtime New York star Argentina Roca against the mighty Zuma. However, it was promoter Jack Pfeffer who booked the main event that evening, not McMahon Sr. When the show actually happened, Killer Kowalski didn't make it, and Bull Curry was substituted. Bruno defeated him in 5 minutes and 9 seconds. Also appearing on that show were such wrestling stars as Miguel Perez, Haystack Calhoun, Ricky Starr, Arnold Scotland, and Frank Valois, the man who would eventually bring Andre the Giant to North America in the early 1970s. Bruno would appear on every Madison Square Garden card for the next year, at first in the semi-main position, but then in the main event slot by the summer of 1960. On January 25th, 1960, he beat Skull Murphy in 5 minutes and 39 seconds. Then, on February 22nd, he faced Killer Kowalski, the man he was supposed to have met in his debut a month earlier. These two would have an off-and-on feud for years, and they would wrestle each other 8 times at Madison Square Garden between 1960 and 1974, including tag team matches. On March the 7th, Bruno beat the mighty Zuma in 5 minutes and 25 seconds, a man who had main-evented 3 straight Garden shows against Argentina Roca at the end of 1959 and the beginning of 1960. On March 19th, he defeated Carl von Hess in 6 minutes and 24 seconds. Then came the biggest match of his career so far, May 21st. Underneath a main event between Argentina Roca and Buddy Rogers that drew 18,000 people to the Garden, Bruno defeated Haystack Calhoun in 5 minutes and 52 seconds. Having only been in the business 4 years at this time, Calhoun was already a big attraction in wrestling, similar to an Andre the Giant, in that he traveled from territory to territory as a featured attraction. During the match, Bruno picked up the 600-plus pound Calhoun in a major feat of strength, and a photo of this would become popular throughout the country. It was this match, and the surrounding publicity around it, that essentially broke Sammartino out as a star. And it was all well-timed, because the next month, he would main event at Madison Square Garden for the first time.
Don't want your love anymore. Don't want your kisses, that's for sure.
On June 4th, 1960, before 13,000 people, Bruno teamed with Argentina Roca, the man who had been drawing fans to the Garden in large numbers since 1949. They defeated Pampero Firpo and the Great Antonio in 9 minutes and 52 seconds. In the preceding years, Braca had teamed with Miguel Perez to form a very successful tag team, who year after year had packed the Garden in main events. But the decision had been made to make Bruno Rocca's new tag team partner, as he was being groomed as the star of the future. The next month, Bruno teamed with Ilio DiPaolo, another Italian star, to beat the Tolos brothers, Chris and John, in the semi-main event. On August 6th, Bruno teamed with Rocca to defeat Dr. Jerry Graham and Pampero Firpo before 16,752. Later that month, before 11,000 people, he teamed with Rocca to beat the Tolos brothers in the main event. On October 1st, he teamed again with DiPaolo to defeat Larry Hamilton and Jackie Fargo in a match third from the top. What promoters hoped would be a gigantic match was booked for October 24th. The main event that evening would be Argentina Rocca versus Bruno Sammartino. Attendance for shows at the Garden promoted by Jack Pfeffer and Cole Aquariani had been sagging all year. The match between Sammartino and Rocca was a last-ditch effort to boost attendance and to placate the shareholders of the Madison Square Garden Corporation. The October 24th bout drew 12,654 and saw Sammartino lose by disqualification. A rematch was held on November 14th. This time, 12,815 fans saw Sammartino and Rocca go to a draw in 34 minutes. Those numbers weren't good enough to save Pfeffer and Quariani, and the Madison Square Garden Corporation decided to make Vince McMahon Sr. the central promoter for the Garden, beginning in December. '61 would prove to be perhaps the most difficult year of Bruno's pro wrestling career. The year before, young and perhaps a little naive, Bruno was scooped up from McMahon by Quariani. Now, with Quariani out of the picture, Bruno came back to McMahon. On the first Madison Square Garden card of 1961, on January 23rd, Bruno teamed with Primo Carnera to beat The Crusher and Danny McShane in the semi-main event. On February 27th, Bruno defeated Haystacks Calhoun by countout in a match third from the top. In between these two events, however, Bruno was involved in a tragedy. On February 18th, at Sunnyside Gardens in Queens, Bruno was wrestling veteran Chick Garibaldi. After delivering a body slam to Garibaldi, Bruno noticed his eyes rolling into the back of his head. Moments later, Garibaldi was dead, the victim of a heart attack. He was only 47 years old. This event would haunt Bruno for years to come. Following on the heels of this, Bruno was involved in a controversy that would put his pro wrestling career in doubt. While still working for Quariani, Bruno had been booked for a show in San Francisco for March the 4th, 1961. This would be promoter Roy Shire's first event at the Cow Palace, a show that would draw 16,553 fans. Even though Bruno was back working for McMahon, he decided to keep his word and go to the San Francisco show. At the same time, McMahon wanted Bruno for a show in Baltimore on the same date. Perhaps still stinging from Sammartino leaving him in 1960, McMahon went to the Maryland Athletic Commission and used his power to have Sammartino suspended, not only in Maryland, but also in several other states. This left Bruno in the wilderness. He could barely get booked anywhere, and at one point considered going back to Pittsburgh and becoming a laborer. However, on May 23, 1961, McMahon went to the Maryland Athletic Commission and got them to lift the suspension. Bruno returned to the fold and resumed wrestling at Madison Square Garden in August. This time around, though, he was more of a mid-carder. On August 25th, he beat Eddie Graham by disqualification in a match fourth from the top. The following month, September 18th, he beat Yukio Suzuki, also fourth from the top, on a super stacked card that featured the Kangaroos, Buddy Rogers, Bob Orton Sr., Johnny Valentine, Eddie Graham, Argentina Rocca, Argentina Apollo, Mark Lewin and Don Curtis, Haystack Calhoun, Giant Baba, Sweet Daddy Siki, and the Golden Boy Arnold Scotland. On October 16th, he teamed with Sailor Art Thomas to defeat Lewin and Curtis in a match third from the top. Then, on November 13th, before a crowd of 20,253, Bruno lost to Giant Baba by countout in 5 minutes and 42 seconds in the semi-main event, underneath a huge Buddy Rogers vs. Argentina Rocca feature match. On December 11th, he teamed with Argentino Apollo to defeat the Great Togo and Yoshino Sato, third from the top. 1962 dawned, with Bruno teaming with Apollo once again on January 22nd and losing to Giant Baba and Yoshio Suzuki. On February 26th, Bruno teamed with Apollo to defeat the Kangaroos by disqualification in a match fourth from top. At this point, McMahon was firmly behind Buddy Rogers as his number one drawing card. And by the look of things, Bruno wasn't factoring into McMahon's long-term plans. The February 26th show would prove to be Bruno's last MSG appearance for 1 year. Bruno took the advice of wrestler Yukon Eric and contacted Toronto promoter Frank Tunney about coming to the city to wrestle. Toronto has a large Italian population, and Bruno would fit right in. Tunney agreed, and he debuted at Maple Leaf Gardens on March 15th. He was a huge success from day one, main eventing shows throughout the year in one of the top cities for wrestling in North America. He would end up wrestling in Toronto off and on throughout the 1960s. After a successful year in Toronto, Bruno returned to the McMahon fold in February 1963. Bruno's first match back at the Garden was on February 25th, on a show that only drew 9,324. That evening, he teamed with Bobo Brazil to defeat Johnny Barend and Magnificent Maurice in the semi-main event. Brazil was one of the biggest stars in wrestling at the time, a popular and in-demand main eventer from coast to coast. He'd started working for McMahon Sr. as a featured attraction in April 1962 and would be a fixture in the Northeast off and on until the late 1970s. On March the 25th, he teamed once again with Bobo Brazil, this time to defeat Skull Murphy and Brute Bernard in the semi-main event. Behind the scenes, things were changing rapidly. Buddy Rogers was by far the biggest attraction in wrestling in 1963. He had begun a red-hot run in 1960 in New York and Chicago as United States champion. In the summer of 1961, he went over Pat O'Connor for the NWA title at Comiskey Park in Chicago, on a show that drew 38,000 plus and would remain the highest drawing wrestling show until the mid-1980s. As NWA champion, he drew very well. But as 1963 rolled around, health issues began to plague Rogers. He dropped the NWA title to Luthez in Toronto in January 1963, part of a larger story where the NWA were frustrated with McMahon monopolizing dates on Rogers and the NWA title, and basically forced the title change. On April 21st in Ottawa, Rogers reportedly suffered a heart attack backstage at a show. Combined with obvious health concerns, McMahon was also worried that once news got out about the heart attack, state athletic commissions would be forced to suspend Rogers and declare him ineligible to appear on shows. Plans were quickly set in motion to get the WWWF belt on Sammartino, which had only been officially created mere days before Rogers' heart attack. McMahon had future plans for Bruno as a top guy, but events had sped up the process. The big evening was scheduled for May 17th, before what would be the highest attendance at Madison Square Garden since January 22, 1962. 19,648 people saw Bruno defeat Buddy Rogers in the main event in 48 seconds. A new era had dawned, one that nobody that night could have possibly foreseen as being as successful and long-lasting as it would be.
The day.
Bruno's run as champion got off to an auspicious start at the Garden, however. On June 21st, only 8,552 were in attendance to see Bruno defend the WWF title for the first time against the Great Mortier. From the Netherlands, the Great Mortier wrestled under several different aliases during his long pro wrestling career. A former professional bodybuilder, he had a great physique for the time. He debuted in the area in February and was given a huge push as a German heel billed as the European champion, complete with title belt and managed by the legendary Wild Red Barry. A rematch was held on July 23rd. This time, 14,495 were in attendance to see Bruno once again defeat the Great Mortier. This card had Buddy Rogers on it, however, while the previous one did not. So that may account for the difference in attendance at this point in time, before Bruno had truly established himself as a headliner who could draw money. Bruno's next match at Madison Square Garden would be a big one, though. On August 2nd, he teamed with Brazil in a loss to Buddy Rogers and Johnny Barrend, the first time Sammartino and Rogers had met in the same ring since the title change in May. Rogers pinned Bruno in that tag match, and the plan was to build to a big rematch between the two, apparently scheduled for October 4th at Roosevelt Stadium in Jersey City, a minor league baseball park where many big shows were held during this time, similar to the usage of the Madison Square Garden Bowl in the 1930s. However, well before the match could happen, Rogers retired due to his heart issues. He promoted locally in New Jersey for McMahon for a time, and a comeback as a manager was planned in 1964 or 1965, but nothing ever came of it. And by the dawn of the 1970s, Rogers was out of wrestling completely. The show held 3 weeks after the August 2nd card would signify the beginning of the first golden age for Bruno Sammartino at Madison Square Garden, as it would be the beginning of a 2-year run that featured several highly attended shows and several sellouts. On that evening, he defeated Killer Kowalski before 19,712. Kowalski was one of the most notorious heels in wrestling from the 1950s through the 1970s. He had been a top attraction for McMahon since 1957, and would be one of Bruno's greatest foes, wrestling him hundreds of times over the years, usually in main events. The first massive program for Bruno at the Garden would begin on September 16th. That evening, he teamed with Brazil again and drew with the Great Mortier, who was subbing for Buddy Rogers, and the man from Manchuria, Gorilla Monsoon. Relatively new to wrestling in 1963, Monsoon came to New York in July and was given the gimmick of a wild man from Manchuria. Also managed by Red Barry, he got over huge in the area. Outside of a brief time in the mid-1960s, he was a mainstay for the company until his death in 1999, eventually becoming part owner and then a memorable play-by-play commentator in the 1980s and 90s. This was the first of three straight Madison Square Garden main events where Sammartino met Monsoon in the ring. Their first solo match would occur on October 21st for 18,969, a sellout. That evening, Sammartino and Monsoon battled to a double countout. The final match between the two would take place November 18th, and even more people packed the Garden that evening, 19,706, to see Sammartino defeat Monsoon by countout. The next program began the following month. On December 16th, Sammartino took on longtime Madison Square Garden main eventer Dr. Jerry Graham. Before 11,670 people, Sammartino was victorious. Having become a huge star in the 1950s, Jerry was the original Graham, who would spawn many quote-unquote brother partners over the years, including Eddie Graham, Crazy Luke Graham, and eventually superstar Billy Graham. He had an extremely successful run with Eddie as the Golden Grahams during the late 50s golden age of tag team wrestling in the Northeast. A fascinating and troubled individual, he was a mainstay in the area until 1967, when his personal issues finally condemned him to the fringes of pro wrestling for the remainder of his career. 1964 began with Sammartino defeating Graham once again before 17,006 people on January the 20th. The blow-off would take place on March 16th, as 18,717 saw Sammartino once again defeat Graham. It was in the middle of his program with Graham that Sammartino faced a man who would go on to become one of the great legends of wrestling. On February 17th, before 14,764, Sammartino defeated Giant Baba, avenging a loss from 1961. The famous writer Tom Wolfe was on hand for this card, and he wrote an article about it, which appeared in the March 1st edition of the New York Herald Tribune. Baba had come to America in 1961 and became a huge star. To this day, still the biggest Japanese star ever in that country, as far as being a main event draw is concerned. In February 1964, Baba achieved an impressive feat. On February 8th, at the Kobo Arena in Detroit, he wrestled NWA champion Lou Thesz in the main event. February 17th was his match against Bruno for the WWWF title at MSG. And on February 28th, in Los Angeles, he wrestled Freddie Blassie for the WWA World Title Belt, which was generally considered the second most important world title in wrestling behind the NWA belt at the time. So, in the span of 1 month, he main evented against three of the four major world champions, with the AWA title being the only one he didn't challenge for. Next up, McMahon Sr. brought back a hugely successful program from last year for two more engagements at the Garden. On May 11th, 16,300 saw Sammartino draw Gorilla Monsoon. The following month, on June the 6th, 16,781 saw Sammartino finally defeat Monsoon decisively.
You say you will love. if I have to go, you'll be thinking of me. Somehow I will know. Someday when I'm lonely, wishing you weren't so far away, then I will remember things we said today.
Next would be a huge two-match series with a man billed as the champion of the West, the Hollywood fashion plate, Freddie Blassie. Blassie was one of the most legendary performers in wrestling history. After 25 years in the business, he exploded as a major heel star in Los Angeles in 1960. By 1964, he was one of the most recognizable wrestling stars not only in America, but globally, as he was a gigantic star in Japan, known there as the Vampire for his constant biting of opponents. Every time he came to the Northeast, he was a huge draw, selling out all six cards he main evented at Madison Square Garden between 1964 and 1974. On July 11th, 18,981 saw Sammartino lose to Blassie by disqualification. The Garden was packed again on August 1st, and fans saw Sammartino defeat Blassie in 28 minutes. The next program at the Garden was equally huge. Bruno would be matched up with Waldo Von Erich. From Canada, Von Erich became famous as a goose-stepping, Nazi-saluting German heel. He hit the big time in New York City in 1964. He would be brought back for several return engagements with Bruno over the years. Always a successful draw, the two would wrestle each other hundreds of times in main events in the 1960s and 70s. On August 22nd, 16,958, saw Sammartino draw Von Erich in a match that supposedly went 81 minutes. This would be the first of three straight main events against Von Erich at the Garden. All drew well. On September 21st, they drew 14,915, and the blow-off on October 19th drew a near sellout of 18,722. Following on the heels of these huge programs, the next one was a slight disappointment. Billed as Canada's greatest athlete, Big Thunder Gene Kaniski was a major wrestling star from the 50s through the 70s in nearly every major territory at the time and internationally. He was so well respected that he was chosen to replace Lou Thesz as the touring NWA champion in 1966, and would continue to do so until 1969. He also held the AWA world title in the early 1960s. On November 16th, 16,816, saw Sammartino defeat Kaniski by countout. The following show, on December 14th, only drew 11,803. Saw Sammartino defeat Kaniski in 19 minutes and 24 seconds. The two would meet up one final time at the Garden on January 25th, 1965, in a tag team match, where Bruno teamed with Bill Watts to take on Kaniski and Waldo Von Erich before 13,875. This would lead to two of the biggest main events Sammartino ever had at Madison Square Garden.
Trailers for sale or rent, rooms to let 50 cents, no phone, no pool, no pets, ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing broom buys an 8-12 four-bit room. I'm a man of means, by no means king of the road.
One of the legendary names in pro wrestling history, Bill Watts broke into the business in 1962 and skyrocketed to the top almost immediately. Came to New York in January 1964 and was pushed as a babyface with a cowboy gimmick. McMahon came up with a plan to team him up with Bruno, which would eventually lead to a heel turn and a major feud. It proved to be more successful than anyone could have hoped. The turn was executed at the February 4th tapings at the Capitol Arena in Washington, D.C. During a match pitting Bruno and Watts against Smasher Sloan and the Golden Terror, Watts abandoned Sammartino and walked back to the dressing room. This program would prove to be so successful that it would be repeated multiple times to even greater success, with Bruno being portrayed by Spiros Arion in 1975, and most famously by his protege Larry Zbyszko in 1980. A partner betrayal formula would also be used to great effect with Hulk Hogan in the 1980s. On February 22nd, 19,101 came to the Garden for what was billed as the most talked about match in wrestling history. Sammartino defeated Bill Watts by disqualification. The rematch on March 29th was even bigger. 19,614 packed the Garden to see Sammartino once again defeat Watts by disqualification. They brought it back one more time on May 17th for a best 2 out of 3 falls encounter. But this time only 12,984 were in attendance. The final major program of this golden age would commence on July 12th. Bruno's opponent would be Dr. Bill Miller. Miller was also a major star in wrestling at this time. He got over big in all the major territories between the 1950s and 1970s. He would be a mainstay in the Northeast for the rest of the decade. Always a major player and involved in matches at or near the top of the card. 17,134 saw Sammartino defeat Miller via a split decision after the 60-minute time limit had elapsed. The rematch on August 2nd, before 15,064 people, saw Miller defeat Sammartino by countout after 30 minutes. The final match between the two took place on August 23rd, before 16,113. That evening, Sammartino defeated Miller in 48 seconds. Following the Miller program, attendance for subsequent events in 1965 sagged. On September 27th, only 13,000 saw Sammartino defeat Tarzan Tyler. On October 20th, Bill Watts was brought back once again for a main event, and since he was leaving the territory, Sammartino finally defeated Watts decisively. Only 13,624 attended that show, though. Next up were back-to-back tag team main events. On November 15th, 13,913 saw Sammartino team up with Johnny Valentine and lose to the Miller brothers, Dr. Bill and his brother Dan. The rematch on December 13th only drew 10,090, the lowest attendance for a wrestling show at the Garden since June 21st, 1963, Sammartino's first defense against the Great Mortier. The territory was now in a full-on decline. Chinks in the McMahon armor had begun to appear in late 1964. One of his two New York wrestling TV shows, featuring matches from Washington, D.C., was canceled on October 8th. He still had a second telecast from Bridgeport, Connecticut. But in 1965, it would be shuffled from time slot to time slot, as attendance slowly declined at the Garden over the course of the year. But much worse was yet to come in 1966. Thank you for listening to the first part of my look at Bruno Sammartino at MSG. Next time, we'll look at troubled times for McMahon, dwindling attendance at Madison Square Garden, a new Madison Square Garden opening in 1968, a return to glory as the 1970s open, and then the unthinkable happens on a cold winter day in January 1971. Join me then at the Garden.